His name is now anglicized to Gerrit Wolfhard, but for years we were taught to say Gerrit. So I don't know what to do anymore. He and his wife Celeste have been pillars in our mission structure. For almost the large part of my Christian ministry, I've known them. I've seldom seen people who have made such a radical change in their life to follow Jesus. Gerrit was a successful, well-off attorney in South Africa, and also lost. And those two gave their lives to Jesus Christ and radically changed the whole direction of their life to such a degree that a beautiful and a violent film was made in South Africa of their life. Well, they are now back in South Africa, and it's a very tough time to be there. And Gerrit primarily ministers to Rwanda, not exactly an easy venture. So if you would, Gerrit Wolfhard, if you could come up and share with us this morning, we would love to have you, and we thank the Lord for you, my brother.
Well, thank you, Pastor Bill. It's such a great pleasure to be here with you this morning on this lovely cold morning. I'm not used to cold anymore since I'm back in South Africa, but it's refreshing. I'm so sad that Dr. Morey is not here today. And obviously, I can't stand in for him. But I do have something to say about Dr. Morey. But before I do, I really bring you greetings from my wife Celeste in South Africa. And we have two little children again of 2 and 7, Lucas and Mia. And more about that later. But they obviously didn't send their greetings, but being part of our family, I bring you their greetings. I want to start this morning by sharing about a very special mentor and teacher in my life. If it was not for this man, I may have had a very superficial understanding of Scripture and probably a very erroneous understanding of Scripture. And who knows? If I would have run the race and walked my Christian walk in the manner that I have up to now, if it was not for this man. On June 22nd, 1984, I was in my bedroom not looking for Christ when he appeared to me. And he said these words to me, "Tonight you have to choose." And he said, "Gerrit, tonight you have to choose between myself and your friends." I was obviously on the wrong road, and I had a 180-degree turnaround in a split second. People afterwards told me that you had a Damascus Road experience, and I said, "Oh, really?" Not knowing what that meant. So as I started studying the Scripture, or I had this immense desire to know more about the Scripture and learn about Damascus Road experiences and everything that goes with it, I started praying and asking God to help me find a place and the right teacher. Because I realized by just looking superficially that there were so many different takes on Scripture and so many ways that people were interpreting Scripture and using Scripture, and some of it sounded weird to me. Have you ever heard weird teaching about Scripture sometimes? Yes. So I really interceded before God for the right person and the right place where I could study the Word that was correct in every way and not false teachings. God clearly, and I'm Truncating this now, making it much shorter. God clearly led me and my family here to Virginia to study under this person, and for 2 years I sat under his feet. First, I went through the scriptures with him, and he taught every single book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation over a period of 9 months. And we all had to go through every verse of Scripture 5 times while he was teaching us. This teacher was anointed. He was infused with the Holy Spirit. He spoke the words of God with great power and conviction. And he instilled in me immense love for the Scriptures, where I can never get enough of it. For the second year, he took me through New Testament theology. I sat at his feet for another year. And then he said to me, God told him many years before that he will send a man from South Africa to come and study under him, and that person will then take that school back to South Africa. And he felt it was me. Together with some of the people that studied in the school with me, we went back to South Africa and started the School of Biblical Studies in South Africa. It was immediately people from all over the world signed up to come and study there. A 9-month course, just like I had did here in the United States. And 67 people arrived for the school the first year. The largest school of biblical studies in the whole of the world. And they came from everywhere. Those people who we taught in South Africa, and the school is still going to this day, this is now nearly, 27 years later, have gone all over the world. They are teaching all over the world. They are pastors all over the world, from Hong Kong to St. Petersburg in Russia, the Ukraine, everywhere. I myself came and taught also in the United States, and very in-depth into Mexico and Cuba. I trained leaders to train others to do the same, and thousands of people were taught the scriptures in that amazing way. I stand on the shoulders of a mighty man of God. I want to thank him today for his godly influence in my life, the foundations that were laid in the scriptures of my Christian walk with God, and the way in which the Word of God was established in my life. That man is Dr. Earl Wesley Morey. His spiritual children are too numerous to count. I do not even know where they are today, how many others they have taught, but they are all over the surface of the earth. And I want to thank Dr. Morey today, my brother in Christ, for the amazing influence that you've had in my life to walk the road that was set before me, even before the foundations of the earth were laid. You were the one who taught me to be faithful to the teachings of the Scriptures and the Word of God, and to live it out in my life. My brother, I love you. And I can never thank God enough for directing my steps to come and sit at your feet. May God bless you during this time as you're going through a hard time. And even though you are not here, your spirit is here with us. And I ask that God's grace and His peace be with you and your beautiful Betty as you together face what is happening in your lives at this time. May God bless you. Could we give Dr. Morey a hand, even though he's not here? Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Morey. Thank you, our brother. Man of God, man of grace. Hallelujah. You are very blessed to have him here. One of my favorite scriptures is from Revelation 12, verses 10 through 12. And I'm reading from the NIV. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now I've come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short." I love the scripture because it so vividly describes our salvation and our redemption through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as well as our calling to be witnesses for Him. Those two go together. Christ died on the cross for us. He took our sins on Himself, so that we could be reconciled with our Father in heaven and also reconciled with one another. And then He gave us our marching orders. It's not only for the clergy or for the missionaries, it's for everybody. Go and preach the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. Satan is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are required to share with the world what our salvation means to us. What difference has it made in our lives? What difference did Christ's death on the cross and His resurrection make to our lives? You know, in Ephesians 2, chapter 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Even before the foundations of the earth were laid, God already prepared works for us to do in advance. Not to get saved, but in response to what Jesus did for us. I want to share two testimonies with you today as part of my sharing with people what God is doing in the world today. What does it mean to be redeemed by the living God? The first is my work in Rwanda. I only started working there 5 years ago while we were still living in Colorado, but I soon realized that God was calling me back to Africa to participate in what was happening in Rwanda, which was truly miraculous. I cannot describe it in any other words. Before I went to Rwanda, I had spoken in more than 25 countries on reconciliation, because that's the ministry God gave me, because of the way I came out of hatred for black people and wanting to commit genocide against them in South Africa, and has freed me from that and given me the ministry of reconciliation to testify about it. So when I went to Rwanda, I was sort of, well, you know, just another country that needs reconciliation. Who doesn't? What am I really going to say to the people? Yes, 100 million people were killed in 100 days. 1 million people were killed in 100 days. And a terrible slaughter took place in that country. But what will I say to them? You know, God loves you. You know, be friends with one another, shake hands, give one another a hug, and move on. And I was even reticent to go and preach the gospel to people who had acted so violently and people who had killed so many. They killed their own neighbors. Some of them killed their own families because they were Tutsis. And so the day before I went to preach for the first time in the prison in Rwanda, I was taken to a genocide memorial, which was in a church just like this. It was a Catholic church. And as you walked in through the doors, all the clothes, the bloodied clothes of the people were still on the benches, wooden benches around like this, right up to the front, right up to the altar. The walls were still full of, the signs of blood, obviously darkened by age. You could see where a baby's head was smashed against the wall. Many of them were killed like that inside the church. 10,000 people killed over a period of 3 days. And then you can go down into the vault below the church, and there are all the bones and the skulls of the people that had been killed in that church. And I remember I walked in there, and it smells like death and evil. And the other people left, and it's very narrow, and I stood there, and I said, God, what am I going to say to these people who did this? I don't even feel like preaching to them. And at that moment, I put my hand on one of the skulls that clearly had a machete wound in it. And I said, look at this, barbaric. And God clearly spoke to me. He said, Garrett, may I remind you that this is what you wanted to do in your own country against the blacks. And I started weeping. And that was the beginning of my understanding, expanding and deepening about God's real reconciliation in this world. His son died for it. But how am I going to forgive people that did this? Well, because I was a sinner myself. And I may have not gone over into genocide, but it was in my heart. And the Lord Jesus says, if it's in your heart, you have sinned. So I preached in the prison. And a man went with me into that prison, Rogers the evangelist. The Hutus had killed 87 of his family members. And his first thought was for revenge. And God took him down on his knees and said, I want you to be my witness of my love for the people that killed your family. They wiped out his whole family, and all their homes were burned down and destroyed. And Roger the evangelist stood up with me in that church, and he said, I've come here. I mean, in the prison. I've come here to tell you that Jesus loves you, and that I love you, and I forgive you for killing all of my family. Because the love of Christ compels me to come and preach to you and to tell you there is hope. Your life can be redeemed even if you killed all my family. And I realized there was a level of reconciliation that I did not understand and was about to learn about. I also work with the director of prison fellowship in Rwanda. 42 of his family members were killed in the genocide. And same thing, wanted revenge, and the Lord took him to his knees and said, I want you to be my witness. He was the first pastor into the prisons after the genocide. In fact, they nearly killed him inside the prison as he was preaching about the love of Christ to them. So how does this connect to my second testimony? There's a lot more I can tell you about Rwanda. I'm working with people that have killed 200, 500. I'm even working with one person they've all repented. That was part of killing the 10,000 people in that Catholic church. He told me personally that they killed over a period of 3 days. When they got tired of hacking the people, they would go and cook some meat and sleep and drink beer. Next morning, go back in and look in the rubble who's still alive and kill them. God has forgiven that man. It's incredible. But he's been forgiven. I call him my brother. Rwanda keeps on having a severe impact in my life, and I'm always astounded when I get there that God shows me even more and deeper He takes me into the to love for people that I didn't think I could love. But it connects directly with my family. You remember what I read this morning? But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. All hell is breaking loose around the world. If we look at the Middle East, ISIS beheading Christians, thousands upon thousands. All the Christians have fled out of Iraq, thousands upon thousands killed. There used to be 3 million Christians in Iraq. The whole Middle East is in turmoil. But you know, this turmoil has been happening since the days of Jesus. It just depends on where you live. Christians have been persecuted all throughout the centuries, millions and millions killed. Satan is furious because Christ has won the victory over death. And he is coming after everybody. Not only in the Middle East or in Africa where people are dying by the thousands as well. But he even comes into our homes because he is filled with fury. And don't think for 1 minute that a pastor or a missionary on the front lines is spared. Sometimes I feel that we are really the main target. Because if he takes us down, he takes down congregations. He takes down the witness of Jesus Christ. So he's filled with fury, going around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he did this with my daughter. Many of you remember Nadia. She was in Christian Assembly. Beautiful little girl. Well, she grew up in a home where she learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. She received Him. She was baptized. Everything beautiful until one day. Somebody at the college said to her, "Try this, it makes you feel really good." And she instantly became a drug addict. We went through many years of struggles with her. And finally found out that she had married a drug addict. They were arrested first in New Jersey. I got them out, brought them to Colorado Springs. They lived with us. They had a child, Mia. She's now 7 years old. We set them up. I discipled my new son-in-law, which I had not chosen. I told him I forgave him, tried to disciple him. They fell back into drugs. And it became so bad that eventually they were arrested for crimes committed in their pursuit of getting more drugs. Nadia was in prison when she was already pregnant with her second child, waiting trial. He was born and we took him in after 6 months because she was sent to prison. She was sent to prison in Colorado for five years, and she served 2 years up to now. We stayed in touch with her. We visited her. I told her how much I love her. And because of my work in Rwanda, I could forgive her. What is it to forgive somebody who is still alive and is your daughter? Your own flesh and blood. If I could forgive people in Rwanda that killed hundreds of people at a time. I forgave my son-in-law. I went to see him in prison, ministered to him, and said, "I forgive you." Stayed in touch with my daughter until we left. We regularly went to see her in Colorado, in Denver Correctional Facility for Women. Ministered to her, but she was far from the Lord. In the time that we've been in South Africa, called her every week, spoke to her, and it seemed like she was changing. She was talking more about the Lord. She was saying, "I really want to do something with my life. I feel there's a calling of God on my life." And I said, "Keep praying. When you come out, God will have a plan for your life." She was going to get deported to South Africa the moment she comes out of prison. And she said she would like to go to YWAM in South Africa, Youth with a Mission. Basis that I started when I was leader of Youth with a Mission there. I said, "Well, you have to apply for yourself." She applied for herself from the prison. They said if she's there by the 19th of September, she can get into the first school. And I said, "Let's pray." Look, I'll be honest with you guys. I was skeptical. I was skeptical because of the lies over such a long period of time. You get beaten down. But I also had faith that God, if He can forgive all those people in Rwanda, people who have killed 500 or 200 other people, that there is hope for my daughter. Well, miraculously, she came out of prison in time and she was deported back to South Africa in time to go to the school, the discipleship training school in South Africa. And she's there now. She spent 3 days with us before she went to the city where they're having this DTS. And in this past week, God penetrated her life by the power of the Holy Spirit. She called me and said they were going to have a teaching on the Holy Spirit, and she was scared. What if she's the only one who doesn't get it? And I said to her, my child, all I can say to you is, open your mind, open your heart to whatever God has for you in this moment. Do not be afraid. Embrace what happens. Well, she was filled with the Holy Spirit in a very powerful way. And yesterday, she was baptized at her own request by the people at YWAM. We cannot give up on those that are close to us and fall into sin. We must forgive them and walk the road back with them so that they can have life too. So many people are sitting in the church today that have exactly the same problems with their children, with their parents, with their brothers, their sisters. And despite the fact that we know the grace of God in our own lives, the love of God, the power of God, we cast those people out. And we do not want to walk the road with them because we've been hurt. We have been disappointed. And so my prayer is that we will be reminded again today that Satan goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And if that happens to be in your own family, may God give you the grace to see that he suffered on the cross and died to reconcile each person that comes to him in this world to our Father in heaven and to one another. There's just too much animosity, even in Christian churches. May God have mercy on us and teach us to be bearers of the good news. Remember what I said. He has set aside for each one of us good works to do. I thank God for my daughter. I pray that Satan won't get a foothold in her life again, and that she will become the woman of God that he always purposed for her to be. She's asked me if she can go to Rwanda with me to minister to the women in the prisons there once she's finished with all her training. And of course, I mean, can you imagine her being able to witness to people in prison about her own story? Remember what we said at the beginning. Satan is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What is your testimony? Let us pray. Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, how great is your name in all the earth. From everlasting to everlasting, you will be the same, and you are the same now and forever. The Alpha and the Omega, God with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And when we are unfaithful, you are still faithful. God, how can I ever thank you for saving my daughter's life? and bringing her back to you in such a powerful way that she will never be able to look back and say, I don't know if God is real. I don't know if the Holy Spirit is true. But that she will become the woman of God that you want her to be. And I pray for every single person that is going through similar thing in this church or in their families, Lord, that your grace will abound and that you will reach out and touch each person's life. Bring those that are wayward back to you. Because, Lord, we can never give up hope. Because while we are still in your presence, while we are in your presence and our children and our parents and our brothers and our sisters and our friends and our acquaintances walk away from you, may we be there to forgive them and to bring them back into your presence. So that your name may be glorified in all the earth. And even the rocks may cry out that you are Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Garrett. What a